Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
But once again, folks, desperate times call for desperate measures. There's a sub in for Mike Evans. Jerry Schimmel with you this morning. Desperate is a station. They got me working with Stink. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Jerry. Always good to be with you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I had a great weekend. Got a lot of... who am I kidding? I didn't really get a lot of stuff done. I just putzed around.
Yeah.
It was good, though.
That's good.
Putzing's okay.
Did you see grandkids? That's a big question.
Well, right now, yes. Yeah, every day.
Oh, okay.
They're staying at my place.
Oh,
they're right
okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well,
yeah.
And it was a great weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, anyhow, it's all good.
All right. Hey, the last time we did this, what, 3 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
A month ago? It looked like we were kind of coming out of the coronavirus and... You and I were talking about, hey, we got this church thing we're doing this weekend. And
right. Oh,
things
yeah,
are coming
yeah.
back. And now we've kind of gone downhill, gone the pooper again.
Yeah, I know.
Since then. Not good, huh?
No, it's not. But, here's the deal. As bad as it is, and it's bad, they're still playing baseball. You know, yep. They're still working on that. They still have the NBA bubble going on. They've got the hockey stuff going on. So we're going to see exactly how they respond to this, exactly at least there's going to be kind of a litmus test, which I'm happy for football, that, we're going to check this thing out and see how this testing works and see how safe these players can stay. And hopefully baseball goes off without a hitch. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a few positives here and there. There was this weekend, Aroldis Chapman of the Yankees tested positive. So, but baseball continues to figure out how to go. So, that to me is a good sign. You know, if we're looking for positives, they're still playing. Now, who knows? I mean, it could go rampant through an organization. They'd have to shut down baseball. But, at least for right now, it seems to be, we're going to kind of trudge through this. This is part of the new normal.
Yeah, this is what I think you and I talked about when we were doing this show last time was, let's give this thing a shot. Let's try, all right? Let's not just say, all right, there's too many complications. There's too many things that could happen that could shut us down. But we don't know that.
Mm.
All right, so let's give it a shot. It may not work, right?
Right.
But we got to give this thing a shot. All three leagues outside of football, and they can play in the fall, hopefully. They're going to give this thing a shot. So I think that's great. It might not work out. We don't know what it's going to look like. But let's try. And the old, fighting try. They're mm-hmm. they're trying to do that, and I commend them for that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And obviously, there's always going to be a certain amount of risk involved with anything that you do. Whether you're in a pandemic or not, there's always a certain amount of risk. So, you got to weigh out what that risk is and how much you're willing to deal with. And at this point, at least it seems, I've been enjoying watching the highlights. I've been watching different guys, from the Rockies and different organizations, live BP and all that stuff. So that's been in an empty stadium, but it's been kind of cool to watch some of those guys. I look at it like, well, we'll see what happens when they actually start playing games and I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm glad that they're making that effort.
Yep. Gotcha. Hey, curious with you, Mark, and someone asked me this the other day and I really had to think about it a little bit. And the question was, how has this thing, the whole coronavirus pandemic, affected you personally? And I want to ask you that question too. And I had to think about that. And for me, my wife is high risk. She's got a lung disease.
Uh-huh.
And has had that forever. So she hasn't gone out of the house basically for about 4 months, but, it hits her a lot harder than it has hit me. I came to this conclusion that I understand this. It's life or death. It is. There are people dying every day from this horrible pandemic, and a lot of people are sick, and a lot of people are affected. For me, it's been more of an inconvenience than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I can't do this, I can't do that. My normal routine, I got to wear a mask when I come in the studio, that sort of thing. How about you? Is it that, or is it more than that for you?
No, it really isn't more than that. It's just about, you always feel like I'm in good health and things are all right. You know, we really hunkered down early in the pandemic and didn't do anything. Yeah. But now it's just about, you know, making sure that when we do have to go somewhere, which, you know, we don't have to go very often to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's about the extent of it. You mask up and you go.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a small, to me, that's a very small inconvenience. I think the biggest thing, you know, the biggest thing for us as a family is that 20 years I've spent on a plane.
Yeah.
So there's a, you know, it's not only my routine that has been, you know, there's a snafu in my routine, but, you know, we're used to me being on a plane. Like, we're used to me going. And so I get to go out to LA every other week or whatever. And my daughters both live out there. So it's like a little, for me, I'm working, but it's a chance to connect with them and have dinners and do all that stuff. So there's that part of life that has just come to a screeching halt. And then, you know, I think your significant other, your wife, gets to the point where she's used to you being on the road a little bit too. So there's this kind of reestablishing, you know, your territory, so to speak, right?
No, I got you.
Yeah. And so that's been kind of an interesting sidebar for us during the pandemic.
Yeah, I got you. When's the last time you're on a plane? Can you remember?
I came home. I flew home the day the NBA from LA, the day the NBA decided to shut down. It was like March 14th. So when I stepped on the plane, the NBA was in full swing. When I stepped off the plane, the NBA had shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
There was that day.
A 2-hour window.
Oh my gosh.
I got on the plane. They were playing. I got off the plane. It was shut down.
Did you get off the plane, look at your phone, like, what in the world just happened? Oh my gosh.
As soon as I got off the plane, turned my phone on, there was all kinds of alerts.
Oh.
So, yeah, crazy.
That is wild. Hey, if you've been listening at all lately, you know that we're having Legends Week this week on The Fan, and we have some wonderful names, some wonderful stories as well, including a former manager of the Rockies, Clint Hurdle. And let me preview this a little bit. We're going to talk to Clint live here in just a few minutes. I did an Amazing American show on Clint Hurdle a week ago yesterday, and I will say this. I've been doing this show for almost a year and a half. I have gotten no more great reaction from any guest I've ever had. I've had some incredible guests on here than Clint Hurdle. Leading up to the interview, people, especially around Denver, love this guy, love Clint Hurdle. And then the interview happened a week ago, yesterday, and the reaction to it was incredible. He was so transparent and so vulnerable about everything that happened in his life and his career. He's an interesting, interesting man. He's a good friend of Mark Schlereth as well. We're going to talk with, on Legends Week, Clint Hurdle, coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to our show. Jerry Schimmel sitting in this morning for Mike Evans with Mark Schlereth. So you got Schimmel and Schlereth. You got a couple of German
easy.
Guys.
That's easy to say.
I know.
That's a great name for a show.
Yeah, Schimmel and Schlereth.
Just get a lot of spit in your mouth. It'll be good.
Exactly. Yeah, I got this craving for German food all of a sudden this morning, too. All right. Hey, it's Legends Week here at The Fan, and one of those with his time with the Colorado Rockies, his former manager and a friend of both Mark Schlereth and myself, Clint Hurdle joins us now. And I think you're in Florida, aren't you, at your new place, Clint? Is that where you're at?
First of all, good morning, guys.
Yeah, good morning to you.
And the show, I'm going with Mark and Jerry. I can't even
get
the other two names together.
Don't blame you. Hey,
Mark and Jerry. So we're back in the burg right now, man. We're selling this house back in the burg.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, first question. Clint, and I asked you this on the show Amazing Americans a couple of weeks ago, but when you look back at your time in Denver, both hitting coach and manager. What's the first couple of things that, come into your head? And you go, you know, my time in Denver, I remember this first. What would that be?
The first thing that, always just pops out at me is the incredible connection that took place with the city and the ball team in 2007. The thing that follows that is the tremendous amount of hard work it took from so many people to dig us out of the hole that we were in the early 2000s to get to that point. You know, the leadership of Kelly McGregor and the vision of Dick Monfort, of course, Jerry McMorris back in the day, and then Dan O'Dowd coming in and rolling up his sleeves and going to work. But the fan support, the fact that the color purple became a thing, man, a real thing. It was just a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
You know, it was so much fun for all of us who are baseball fans to be a part of that 2007 season. You know, you feel like, as a fan, you feel like that's like it, you're part of it. You know, you kind of run with that, Clint. And yeah, tell me a little bit about just the run you guys went on, the Rocktober stuff, and getting yourself all the way to the World Series. What was it like to be a part of that? What was it like to be inside the locker? I know what it was like to be a fan. What was it like to be inside the locker room every day?
Well, it was so cool to see the men in that locker room grow up. You know, we had a strength and conditioning coach on our club that was instrumental in a lot of growth for a lot of people, a lot of different ways, Brad Andrews. But to see these men grow up through the season, you know, because we were just kind of, it was kind of an okay season. It was nothing special, but we kept working. We kept our sleeves rolled up. We kept counting on one another. We kept showing up. We kept getting a little bit better in some area each and every day. The work of Bob Apodaca and the pitching staff. I mean, we became a team. We could pitch it and we could catch it. Mike Gallegos worked with the infielders. I think we led the league in fielding percentage that year. So we pitched and played defense, and we found a way to score one more run than the other team. It wasn't like the Blake Street Bombers. Some nights we would slug, but it was just good old-fashioned baseball played at altitude, which I wish I had a dollar for everybody told me we'd never win. I'd have a lot of dollars. But it was so, I think, rewarding. The fans, absolutely. Because what a great fan base. You know, last year you showed up, I think they're sixth or seventh in baseball in attendance. They continue to come out and support. It's just a beautiful venue. It's a great place to play baseball. So it's so rewarding for so many people. But to see those guys put forth that effort every night and then to catch fire, absolute fire in the month of September. You know, that saying, Mark, that you can identify with, and Jerry, you've probably seen it. You know, guys were showing up early and staying late, which is not the norm. And there was a star every different night. Somebody else was showing up every different night. But at the end of the day, you come to the park and you expect to win. You just flat out expect to win. And during that stretch, 21 out of 22, we actually, it was kind of like we knew we were going to win. We just couldn't wait to find out how it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious too, because I don't know if I asked you this question before, but in that run, was there any, with you or anybody else in the players, any kind of superstition? I mean, I'd be like, hey, we've won 11 in a row. I need to wear the same underwear again. You know, hey, let's do it this. You remember any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, there was stuff going on all over the joint. and, you know, and they used to kid me because, you know, they would say something. I mean, Helton may be one of the most superstitious players I've ever been around. And he had a list of things that I think he would go through, and guys would drive to the park the same way. But I would tell the guys, I'm not superstitious, but I'm going to do the same thing the way I did it yesterday, just in case there's something to this. Okay, I'm going to stay with that routine. But it was socks. It was undershirts. Different things in pockets. there was a lot of it going on.
When you have a special run, you know, all the way to the World Series, you have a special run like that. Yeah, it's so much more than baseball. It really is the sacrificial kind of understanding of every guy, basically putting kind of his own stuff on the side and really lifting up the team. How cool is it to see that actually unfold during that time? To see I'm sure you've got all kinds of stories of guys sacrificing for the good of the team during that time. How cool is that for you to see that kind of come to fruition?
You know, I think it's probably for us the same feeling you get as a father. You work with your kids, you teach your kids. Sometimes you don't know if they're listening. And then you watch them jack around or whatever, and you kind of roll your eyes. But then you just keep sending them out to play, and all of a sudden you watch them develop and play in the backyard. They get it. And then you're so proud of them because of the way they're taking care of it. I mean, the guys on that club that year took care of that uniform, took care of the fan base, took care of the baseball. I mean, remember when we all bought our first car and the passion we felt for that first vehicle? I mean, you valued it, you honored it, you respected it. If somebody threw up in it, you wanted to beat their backside up. You waxed and washed it when you didn't need it. They took care of the car the whole year, man. They weren't renting the car. They loved the uniform. They loved the name on the front, that city they were representing, the team, and that name on the back was the family they were coming from and representing. So to see that play out and actually watch men, I guess boys turn into men, personally and professionally, before your eyes is something I will never, never forget. Mm.
Legends Week this week here at the Fan. Clint Hurdle, one of those. He's our guest this morning. Clint, we know, the three of us know, I know a lot of listeners understand this as well. It always seems to come down to relationships. You had a very, very special one, didn't you, with the late Kelly McGregor?
It was a gift from God. Mm. He grew me up personally and professionally. I was on a share last night with some coaches and some people, and I tell them to this day, there's not many weeks go by that I don't talk to Kelly a handful of times. Mm. And the wisdom, the vision, the laugh. My God, he had a laugh. He had a laugh you never would expect out of a man 6'7", 250 pounds, and cut the way he was. But the love he provided his family, those around him, the employees, everybody mattered. Everybody mattered, and relationships mattered, because if it was just about winning, it wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to sustain itself. His heart was bigger than the vision he had for the baseball team, and a man that came from football character. And, you know, Schlereth's got it too. Mark's got it. I mean, these guys play football, but they're so much deeper. There's so much more to them. Empathy, sympathy, compassion. Just love. They kind of walk and talk the golden rule, but to this day, he has been probably the second most meaningful man in my life besides my father.
Hmm. That is so good, Clint. So much appreciate you. Just real quick, as we walk out, just the current state of baseball, what you see in baseball, what inspires you and what upsets you?
I think from a society basis and baseball basis, though, that the two run the same lane for me. I think God's just telling shame on us. You need to figure some things out. And we need to put the ego away. We need to be thankful and grateful for what we have. We need to find a way to coexist. We need to cling to what we do have in common. And not just magnify what we don't have in common. And this isn't about right or entitlement. This is about honoring a sport that blesses so many people, that gifts so many people. It goes back to that passion piece I talked about. When you buy that car, because think about it, guys, what did you feel when you rented your first car? Anything? I mean, you rent a car, you put gas in it to get you where you want to go, and I think in society and baseball right now, we got a lot of people that are renting cars. They're not buying cars, man. And we need to buy more cars. We need to honor more things. We need to be passionate about more things and take care of them, leave them in a better place than when we first got them. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Clint, thank you so much. We appreciate the time, and congratulations on I'm looking back at your career. What a wonderful career. Player, coach, manager, good stuff, and more importantly, the impact you've had on people. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. I look forward to getting back to Colorado and seeing you two guys. Two of my favorites. Thank you.
Love you, Clint, man. Be good, buddy.
See you, Clint. Clint Hurdle.
Love you, Bill. Bye-bye.
What a What a man.
Yeah.
It really is. And if you, by the way, you want to go back and listen to Amazing Americans with Clint Hurdle, it's at amazingamericans.org. Go back and listen to that interview. I think it'll have a profound impact on you. I really do believe that. We'll be back. Morning Brew coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
They'd like to keep the color scheme, the burgundy and gold. That they'd like to do. That would be the only compromise they could come up with. The name's going to have to change. There's no other way around it. They'll lose a tremendous amount of money. And when you lose money, owners start worrying. But the key here is they'd like to keep the color scheme. And then they obviously have to come up with a new name. What's the name going to be? And how could they make it work with the color scheme?
That is Adam Kaplan, NFL Sirius XM audio about Washington changing its nickname. We are told that they will announce that they're going to do that this morning, but we may not hear the nickname until later, pending some legal issues. And Mark, your thoughts on that? A former Washington Redskin. We haven't, I don't know, you and I have talked about this. You okay with this name change?
Absolutely.
Are you? Good.
Yeah, I'm on this big email chain of a lot of former great, you know, Redskins, old time Redskins.
Yeah, I'm on that list too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting to hear the different
kind of a big deal
opinions. You know, I've said this for years now. Ethnicity shouldn't be somebody's nickname. You know, it shouldn't be some team's nickname. It wouldn't be okay with different ethnicities. It shouldn't be okay with this. I'm great with changing it. And a nickname has nothing to do with the spirit involved in being a team, in being part of something special, in winning championships. It has nothing to do with anything. And I've said this a million times. I said this when I was playing for the Broncos. The owner isn't the Broncos. The coaches aren't the, it's the players that go out and play. Like, We are the embodiment of what the Broncos are when we take that field. Same thing with the Skins back in the day. So to me, the nickname is just a nickname. It doesn't carry forward the spirit of that organization to me. So I'm fine with it. I've seen a lot of pull for the Red Wolves. Have you seen this one?
No, Red Wolves.
The Red Wolves is
I've
getting
heard
a
red
lot
tails,
of
but not Red Wolves.
Yeah,
Red
the Red Wolves. I've seen some mock-up. I've seen some mock-ups, and yeah, so that seems to be getting a lot of back east. That seems to be getting a lot of just a lot of traction.
Is there one that you like in particular besides that one?
I don't. You know, I was always like that. I was for the Hogs, yeah, Washington Hogs.
There
you
go. All right. I saw veterans, Washington veterans. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Next up on Morning Brew.
What about catching?
Oh, that's 99, 100%.
Catching is an 82.
What?
Jerry Jeudy and Chad Johnson stunned by their low Madden ratings. Mm. Should they be stunned by that?
Well, are you not a rookie? Don't you have to earn? Don't you have to earn?
First?
Like, what do you, don't you have to put a squirt of urine in the bucket before you get a high rating? I mean,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought you had a role in improve it at the next level. I didn't think it just was given to you. I thought you earned it. So,
if next year at this time,
I think it's funny that Madden ratings are like so important.
Right, right.
Like, isn't it? It's funny to me that like when I came in, and again, you know, I walked uphill both ways to school in, you know, freezing cold with no shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how, I mean, you had such a sense of history of the league because, you know, you woke up and you watched it in the mornings and you watched Monday Night Football and you did all that stuff, you know, and you followed the league. And these kids, a lot of the kids that come up today, they have a sense of the league through Madden.
Yeah.
Like and I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying it's different the way we grew up. So it's really interesting how important Madden ratings are to some of the kids coming in now.
How about this response? Hey, you know what? I haven't played a snap yet. Maybe next year at this time, if I'm got a low rating, I might have a response. But right now, I just want to play.
Right.
That's probably the response we're looking for. Next on Morning Brew.
You know what made it different is they ain't never seen this camp. They ain't never seen them. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Tired of being sick and tired, Cam. Felt like I was just left to die. It's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
Mm-hmm. That's Cam Newton talking about his time with his previous team, saying he was left out to die.
Mm. Yeah, welcome to the NFL.
Yeah.
With every other guy is living in that reality. So you're not the first guy that's ever been dumped on. And you won't certainly be the last guy. As a matter of fact, if you open your eyes, and this is the problem just from an awareness standpoint. You know, I see guys in the NBA complaining about the bubble and how it's not, you know, what is this, a Motel 6? And, you know, I mean, understand you make millions of dollars a year to play basketball and you get celebrity and you have private jets and you have like calm down a little bit. Let's understand what everybody else, if you opened your eyes enough, and this comes down to leadership. If you've opened your eyes and up enough during your time with the Panthers, you will have seen dozens of guys who got kicked to the curb.
Yep.
Right? It's not, hey, this is not about they're stacked up against you. They're stacked up against everybody. And so if you pay attention, I played with Donnie Warren 15 years, one of the best tight ends, best blocking tight end I've ever been around.
Really?
Donnie Warren used to walk into the locker. I caught him one day. Walk in the locker room in year 13 or 14 and peek around the corner. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, every day I peek around to make sure my stuff's still sitting in my locker.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like every day, it's part of my routine. I peek around just to make sure that I didn't get cut and they hadn't told me yet.
See, one of those guys that if he saw his stuff there, he's like, yeah.
But 15 years, yeah. And he was a great player, But, you know, you have a certain amount of respect and understanding of what's going on around you. And how you're only as good as, you know, your last injury, your last play, your last whatever. And, you know, obviously these are part of the maturity issues that we've talked about, you know, with Cam walking out of press conferences and sulking on the sideline and all that. And I get it, man. Be motivated by it. But don't act like you're the only guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Sometimes professional sports does not equate to humility. Not across the board.
Right.
But in certain
But what do they always say? Clint used to say this all the time. There's two types of athletes. We just had Clint on.
Yeah.
Those who are humble and those who are about to be.
Right. Exactly right.
It's true.
Next up on Morning Brew.
Listen, I love Adam Silver. I love the NBA. I don't see how this thing is going to work, to be honest with you. I don't see how we can go 3 months and do not have an outbreak in Florida, which is the number one hot spot. I just don't see how it's going to work for 3 months. And I'm really... really scared for the NBA.
That, of course, is the unmistakable voice of Charles Barkley talking about how he has doubts about the NBA bubble. Don't we all, though, Mark? I think everybody's got doubts. You know, if there's an outbreak, we might have to respond to it. Something might have to happen. But like we've been talking about, you got to give this thing a shot. Let's see if it'll work or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's inherent risk in everything you do. You know, and there's probably... When you think of it, and I've heard Adam Silver say this, I've heard a lot of different people say this, is probably, you know, living inside the quote unquote bubble, that's probably the safest place you can be.
Yeah.
So, and still there's obviously there's still going to be risk in living in that bubble, but, you know, you'll have a person or two test positive, I'm sure. Maybe you won't, I don't know, but it feels that way. But as long as you quarantine that person and, you know, I feel like they're going to pull it off. And I could be stupid. I am stupid.
You're just optimistic, that's all.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm hopeful because I want them to pull it off because I want there to be an NFL season and I want there to be college football and I want there to be baseball. I want all these things. You know, I want that. So, yeah, I'm optimistic.
Yeah. And part of that response from Charles Barkley was that NBA players are required to be in uniform when arriving to games. It reminds me of something Charlie Blackman said not too long ago, the Rockies outfielder, because there's talk of Major League Baseball staying doing the same thing. Guys have to show up in their uniforms. They come to the ballpark and step out of their cars and they're in uniform already. It's not for sure in Major League Baseball, but it's been talked about. Charlie Blackman's like, yeah, this is great, man. It's like Little League. We just go get, we get, right. us, and we get in the car, mom and dad take us and drop us off, and then when we're done, we stay in our uniform, and we go to Dairy Queen, and then we go home. Right. It's going
to
be great.
We go to Shakey's Pizza, we have a pizza and a soda, and I mean, I don't know if you guys had Shakey's where you grew up.
Shakey's.
After the football game. You know, after the football game.
Shakey's Pizza.
Oh, yeah, you went to Shakey's Pizza, right?
Dang.
And you had the bus. Remember, you get your uniform on, you head to the bus. Maybe you kept your shoulder pads off on the bus ride over to the over to the stadium. But then you threw on the shoulder pads and the helmet, and you were ready to roll in high school. Oh, man, that's great. Little League. Hey, and when you were in little, like in Pop Warner football, Pop Warner football, I mean, when you were a kid, you didn't take your uniform off after the game. Because you wanted everybody to know you were a football player, right?
Yeah.
So you had your shoulder, you were in McDonald's with your family, you know, getting a egg and muffin, right? And you had your shoulder pads on. You get the big breakfast with the pancakes and the sausage and
it's literally called the big breakfast.
Yeah. That's what you did as a kid. You kept your shoulder pads on. Make sure everybody knew you played football.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. That's great.
Hey, when you're playing high school football in Alaska, did you guys shower after games on the road? But you get back on the bus and just
go right back on the bus.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah. We get right back on the bus and head back over to the high school.
Yeah. That's what we did too.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of games senior year. It was raining every Friday night, but, we went to the city doesn't matter. We played this team and it was in a mud bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't shower after the game. It was cold and everybody was freezing. We won the game, which is great. So it wasn't so bad. The bus ride home. But yeah, I remember just sitting there just caked with mud on the bus for an hour and a half.
We played all of our stadiums downtown or midtown in Anchorage, Alaska.
So everybody in your conference is in Anchorage?
Well,
okay.
There's five teams and, you know, one team in Eagle River. So yeah, it wasn't a big stretch.
Yeah.
We played it was called Mulcahy Park.
Ah.
And when I first started playing varsity football, it was grass, you know, and then they went to AstroTurf.
Did they?
And, but, you know, a lot of the games for us, you know, come October, toward the end of the season, for us, October was the end of the season. Mm. You didn't even break a sweat during a football game. It was so damn cold out. You know, so you really got done playing. You didn't even have to shower. You never sweat. You know, you go, all right, I'm done.
Good stuff. Mile High Memories presented by ROX, Roxegan Air. Thank you to everybody who subscribed to the podcast and made it a success beyond what any of us expected. Thousands and thousands of downloads already. You can vote today on Twitter at 1043 The Fan for the topic in episode 11, Denver sports star derailed by injury. You can hear about Antonio McDice, Terrell Davis, Peter Forsberg, or Troy Tulowitzki. Voting is today only. Episode 11 available now. That's Sandy's top 10 trades in Denver sports history. There's a few surprises in there. Get it wherever you download your podcast or at 1043thefan.com. We have subject matter from James Merrillot, including Justin Simmons accepting the franchise tender. Let's start with that. James joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you doing, James?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, I can't speak for Stink, but I'm doing well.
Doing well, James. So what do you know about our guy Justin Simmons and the likelihood of, what is it, like 4 o'clock on Wednesday that they have to either come to a long-term agreement or you have to play under that franchise tag? What do you expect to happen?
Well, just based on past history where John Elway has taken these, whether it was with Demaryius Thomas, Vaughn Miller, Matt Prater, he's had a few different players get to this point, and they've always gotten a deal done, but it's always been at the 11th hour and then some, so right at the deadline. So my guess would be that it would go that direction, that they would get a long-term deal done just based on that's been their history. But until that's signed, there's that mystery. I don't know that it's that bad of an idea on the Broncos' part to buy themselves a year to kind of evaluate this. I mean, Justin Simmons is a really good player. But is he a great player? I think you can make the argument that Kareem Jackson had more impact last year than Justin Simmons did. I mean, he was the best player on the field in the Broncos' win at the Chargers defensively. He was the best player on the field probably for either side down in Houston, where he was the defensive player of the week when, kind of his revenge game against the Texans. So, you know, I come up off the top of my head with two games where Kareem Jackson was really, really good and impacted the outcome of the game and kind of changed things. I can't do that with Justin Simmons. I'm not being critical of him because he is a very good player. And he's there every single play and he's, you know, he's very consistent, but is very consistent something you want to give, a guy a 4-year, $60 million deal for? I'm not 100% sure. So buying themselves a year, kind of seeing where they're at in terms of this rebuild and, hey, is the offense where we think it is? So then we got to make sure that we keep this defense together. There's kind of all these questions. So if I'm the Broncos, I'm buying myself a year, even though there's some risk to that. And you'd like to have a long-term deal. All of that said, history tells me they're going to get a deal done right at the deadline.
James, would it also make sense for the Broncos to buy a year like you're saying because the future's a little bit uncertain? I mean, revenues are going to be down. Is it something that they're looking at saying, you know, we're not really sure what our budget's going to look like the next 4 years?
Yeah, Jerry, that's a really good point. You know, we all assume that by 2021 things are going to be back to normal, but I don't think that's guaranteed. Plus, they're going to have to figure out, okay, well, how do we absorb all the lost revenue from 2020? Now, football is in a different situation than maybe baseball, where it's not as dependent on the gate. They get so much of their money percentage-wise from TV. But the gate and selling beers and selling hot dogs and selling parking, that is revenue for them, and that's all going to be essentially gone this year. That's going to affect what the salary cap's going to be because it's always a percentage of revenues. So, yeah, I think that's a good point of if you've got, you know, $15 million tied up in a guy, that maybe you want to have some flexibility down the road of, hey, that's not money we have to have on the books and we can use that in other ways. That is the one thing, you know, my first answer was, well, history says they're going to go down this path. Well, history has never been this situation heading into the deadline of getting a deal done either. So I think you make a great point. The kind of the unknowns make it to where if we look back in 10 years at all of the franchise tags John Elway has used and there's one kind of aberration and it turns out to be Justin Simmons, well, that's going to be because he was the guy that happened to come up when, you know, all this COVID-19 has been happening that is just unprecedented. So, yeah, that could be a wrench in the gears that makes him want to have some more flexibility for sure.
You know, it's interesting to me, and I think, Jerry, you bring up a really good point. You know, the speculation is the cap will go down next year.
Right.
Would that lend itself to, you know, finding yourself a more reasonable contract, you know, if you play out another year? You know what I'm saying? Like, is he going to have as much money on the table simply because of revenue situations and because the cap, the speculations, the cap's going to drop, what, 20% or so?
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly a factor. I think that, this year, you know, we've talked about it a lot, Stink, where it's, hey, they got to find out what they have in Drew Lock. Cause they've kind of got it set up contract wise, whether it's Von Miller, Kareem Jackson, some of the guys they signed last year, even Jarrell Casey, where at the end of this year, if they discover that, you know what, Drew Lock isn't the answer, we're having to start over again when it comes to quarterback, they can kind of hit the reset button with some of these big contracts they have with veterans and get those off the books and, you know, not have a bunch of money tied up in a really expensive defense that, you know, is that going to do you any good if your offense is still trying to find a quarterback? Well, probably not. So, I think Justin Simmons kind of falls into that category too of, you know, if they get through the end of this year and Drew Lock is the man, then yeah, you're trying to keep everything together and build upon it, and make sure that defense is stout. But if not, you kind of do want to have the flexibility of, well, do we need to go out and sign a quarterback? You know, there was a bunch of veteran guys out there this year that they didn't take a look at because they think they have the guy. If that sort of situation comes up again next year, whether it's Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, whoever it turns out to be, Andy Dalton, perhaps, do you want to have the flexibility to be able to go out and spend money to try and solve that quarterback problem if you have to? And that becomes even tougher if the cap goes down 20% and you've got big money tied up in guys that, let's face it, they're not helping you win if you haven't solved the quarterback issue. So a couple of things that really make it to where flexibility heading into 2021 probably is key for Denver.
Talking to James Merrilott from our station and from 1043thefan.com. And let me shift gears to another subject with the Broncos still, James, and that is, aside from Von Miller, let's put him aside for now, how about the case of kicker Brandon McManus, the most likely to become a Ring of Famer among the current Broncos? Now, I think his contract is up after this year, but let's say that Brandon McManus signs another 3-year deal after this year and kicks like he has for the Broncos for the next 3 years, would he, in your mind, be that next guy up?
Boy. You know, I think kicker is one of those where it's not just about what you do. I think it's even more dependent on the team because you got to make some big kicks in big games. You know, Jason Elam is up there because he made big kicks in postseason games. You know, he set the, at one point, set the NFL record with the 63-yarder they had against Jacksonville in 98. To me, Matt Prater has actually made more big kicks. If you think back to that Tebow year, man, he was making 50-yarder after 50-yarder, you know, at the gun to force overtime and in overtime to win games and, you know, just some really, really clutch kicks. McManus was good in the 2015 postseason. But, you know, it's not as though he was, you know, drilling a 52-yarder to win the AFC title game or something that just really stands out. So I think he's got to have a few more of those kicks where you're like, boy, there's nobody I would have wanted to have out there other than Brandon McManus in order to get his name up there. That may be unfair. I may be judging kickers differently than I do everybody else. But as good as he's been, I think he needs to have a couple of those signature moments. And that's either, you know, it's either Vic Fangio letting him try that 65-yarder and he drills it and sets the NFL record. Okay, that's a big moment. Or it's got to be, hey, a few times he goes out there with the game on the line, they're down 2 and there's 2 seconds left, and he splits the uprights from 54 yards out and the place goes crazy. I think he needs a few more of those in order to be a Ring of Fame type of a guy.
Yeah, it is interesting. And you're right. Everybody judges kickers differently because they're kickers. I mean,
right.
Morton Anderson just went to the Hall of Fame. There's two, Jan Stenerud and Morton Anderson. Those are the only two kickers in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, we all look at Vinatieri is going to go eventually at some point, but that's, you know, that's the world we live in. Hey, quick, before we let you go, and it's all speculation at this point, right? Everything that we do is speculation in regards to COVID-19 and the start of the season. Expectations for an on-start or on-time start for training camp and the National Football League?
My expectations, just based on everything they've done, they've been full steam ahead, you know, figuring out a way to do it, but full steam ahead with the free agency, with training camp, with everything else during the offseason. It appears as though July 28th is the date and they're going to hit it. So, my expectation, now I'm not 100% like you are, like I am every other year, but, you know, I'd say it's probably 80% that I feel like, yeah, they're going to show up, and who knows, they may have to adjust as they go. And the protocols may be tweaked as we all kind of learn different things, as this whole thing goes on. But no, I think they're going to be there. I think they're going to play. And man, doesn't it seem like the offseason has been about 4 years long? So I'm with everybody else, and I'm really ready for that to get here. That's for sure.
Hey, James, thank you so much. Great insight, my friend. We appreciate you coming on, taking a few minutes with us.
You bet, fellas. It was fun.
All right. Hey, it's made me think about something, Mark. The Broncos have done all right with their kickers, haven't they? They've got some really good kickers.
Yeah, you know, when you think about from Elam to Prater to, I'm sure I'm missing one, to McManus, really good. It, you know, I mean, how much, like, they're really good kickers, don't get me wrong. Kicking in altitude helps.
Sure.
To a degree, but you still have to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had not only guys that can hit big clutch shots or big clutch kicks, but, you know, McManus is one of those guys that's pretty special too because, he's so good at kickoffs.
Mm.
So he can, you know, take a two step and pooch it up high and put it still down about the 1 or 2 yard line and make you return it, or you just boot it out of the back of the end zone. Like that's a really, you see a lot of teams that have great, really accurate kickers that carry a kicker and then carry a kickoff guy or have their punter be their kickoff guy, right? So to have a kicker that can do both and be a very effective player in special teams in regards to setting up returns and pinning guys or pinning teams inside the 25, inside the 20. I mean, you know, when you start to look at odds of driving the ball, the difference between 75 yards and 80 yards or the difference between 80 yards and, you know, and 84 yards, it's a huge difference from a scoring standpoint, percentage of score standpoint. So those guys that can do that for their team are really valuable assets.
Here's a question. Do the Broncos have anybody on the roster that are top 10 in the NFL at their position? We'll talk about that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.